Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to New York Times best-selling author, renowned spiritual success coach, and Hollywood producer Devon Franklin about his new book, The Hollywood Commandments. He stopped by the Upfront studios this week to chat about that and his new film, The Star, which opens in theaters later on this month. Tyler Perry casting director, Raven Drummer, is here to discuss the do's and don'ts of auditioning for television, film, and stage, and what it really takes to get noticed. She also opens up about what it takes to be a casting director and more. Soul music stars Guapale and Raheem Devon are also in the studio to chat about their partnership with the AIDS Healthcare Foundation and World's Rise Above HIV campaign. The two have teamed up with the organizations to help save lives and spread the message about awareness, prevention, and sexual responsibility. We'll also be playing new music from them, along with Mariah Carey and more. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Destination Casting is seeking a dream girl for the new TV series Superstition, starring Mario Van Peebles, Brad James, and Demetria McKinney. The actress must be an African-American female between the ages of 18 to 34 with a slim build. She must also be available to work Monday, November 6th through Thursday, November 9th in Conyers, Georgia. If this is you, please submit a current photo along with your full name, age, range, height, weight, and other sizes too. superextracasting@gmail.com with Dream Girl in the subject line of the email. Central Casting is looking for two clean-cut men of any ethnicity who are able to perform a military American flag folding ceremony. The actors must be available to work on Tuesday, November 14th. If you fit the description, please submit to insatiable@centralcasting.com with flag 14 in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, congratulations to Beyoncé Knowles Carter. The multi-Grammy winning singer has been cast as Nala in the upcoming live-action version of Disney's The Lion King. The multi-talented performer joins a star-studded cast including Donald Glover as Simba, James Earl Jones as Mufasa, Chiwetel Ejiofor as Scar, and Alfre Woodard as Sarabi. Lion King tells the story of Simba, a young lion who is to succeed his father Mufasa as king of the Pride Lands. However, after Simba's uncle Scar murders Mufasa, Simba is manipulated into thinking he was responsible and flees into exile. Upon maturation, living with two wastrels, Simba is given some valuable perspective from his childhood friend Nala and his shaman Rafiki before returning to challenge Scar and take his place in the circle of life as the rightful king. Go to WCLK.com to see the full cast photo. The Lion King arrives in theaters summer 2019. That's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the Cobb Energy Center, presenting the Dave Koz 20th Anniversary Christmas Tour on Friday, November the 24th at 8 p.m. The evening will feature Christmas classics and a Hanukkah medley from Koz, along with his guests, guitarist Peter White, pianist David Benoit, trumpeter Rick Braun, and vocalist Selena Albright. Ticket information is available at CobbEnergyCenter.com.
Hi, this is Karen White, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My first guest is the freelance casting director for Tyler Perry Studios, Ms. Raven Drummer. She was here this week on behalf of CAU's Department of Speech Communication and Theater and stopped by the Upfront Studios to chat about auditioning for television, film, and theater. Drummer has had the privilege of working on such projects as The Family That Prays, Why Did I Get Married Too, The Marriage Counselor, and such television series as House of Pain, Meet the Browns, and most recently, The Haves and the Have-Nots, and Love Thy Neighbor. She also shared with me some do's and don'ts of auditioning and the advice advice she would give to those looking to become casting directors.
Well, good morning, Raven Drummer, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. You look great.
Oh, thank you. So do you.
Finally, we got you here in the studio. It's been some months that we've been trying to get you in here.
Yes.
Yeah. So you were on the campus this week earlier talking to the students for the speech and theater department here at Clark Atlanta University. Mm-hmm. And man, people were trying to get jobs.
I mean, you know, Atlanta. It's Atlanta. It's prime time. So.
But you were basically talking to the students about some of the do's and don'ts of auditioning. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, let's kind of go back to your very beginning. When did you know that this is what you wanted to do for the rest of your life?
You know what? I feel like I didn't really know until after college. I knew for me, I graduated. I was a theater major.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I was a theater major, and I still didn't really know. I was actually interning. I interned at Tyler Perry Studios and still didn't know exactly what it was. I knew that I wanted to work with actors. I just didn't know what that looked like. You know, nobody told me there was such a thing as a casting director. No one told me what casting directors do. So I feel like it wasn't until I started interning, one with Alpha Tyler and then with Ruben Cannon, that I really began to understand what it is. And then I see how so many things that I had done previously, my work directing, my work acting, really was the perfect culmination to be a casting director. Yeah. So probably about a year after I got, after I graduated and started working in casting is when I realized this feels right. You know?
Now you mentioned Ruben Cannon, who's this legendary, iconic casting director. What was a lesson off the top of your head, what was one of the biggest lessons that you learned from him? Because he's been casting since I was maybe
forever.
Five or 4 years old.
There were so many lessons. And for instance, I was watching a recent clip with T.D. Jakes, and the first thing he said was Ruben Cannon came to me and, said, hey, we should do this movie. And I'm like, I used to work for him, So, in terms of casting, one of the lessons that I've learned from him is he used to always say cast above the role. So he would always be looking for the actors that could do more than what we were essentially auditioning them for. Okay. So, and it's kind of a life, lesson for me too. You always want to find even in building your team or business or when I'm looking for someone to work with, people who are capable of doing so much more than just the two or three lines that you give them or the position and things like that. So cast above the role was one of the things that always stuck with me for sure.
Wow. Yeah. So let's get into some of these do's and don'ts, because I think there's, most people don't realize that it's more than just coming with the resume and or having too much on your resume and then having the right photograph. It's not just a picture of yourself, but it's a really nice picture of yourself showing off your best qualities. So let's talk about that.
In terms of headshot and resume, I always say I think that your headshot should tell a story. As actors, you kind of have to help us out as casting directors. You kind of want to lead us in to say, okay, you know what? I think I'm right for this, So I always say thankfully a lot of photographers are doing this now in the area. So when you're taking the picture, be aware of the type of roles that you see yourself in as you are taking that headshot, because that's going to come across in your picture. And I'm seeing a lot more of actors doing that. Some general do's and don'ts though are, I don't know, this is kind of a do and a don't. So many actors don't consider themselves or think of themselves as creative beings. And what I mean by that is I am reliant, the producer, the director, the entire crew is reliant on you as this creative vessel to find as many things and to dig as deep as you can into whatever character that you're cast in. And I want to see all of the work and all of the mess and the vulnerability that comes from that. And I want to see that in the audition. So it's not just you getting sides and saying, you know what, this character is angry, I need to be angry. It's so much more than that.
But why are they angry?
Right, that's why they're angry. It's where is this anger coming from? What do they want? And I think that so many auditions are so levels one and two, when really an audition should be level 36, And those are the ones that stand out for sure.
Now, what about, because I've heard, I want to say when Beyonce auditioned for Dreamgirls, that she actually came looking
Yes.
Dina Jones.
Yeah.
You know, she had the Diana Ross wig and, yeah. you know, and the outfit and everything. So is that, you know, do you guys frown upon, do you encourage that, you know, if you're coming for...
When you're Beyonce. When you're Beyonce auditioning for, like, a huge Oscar, you know,
yeah,
film,
yeah.
you better go,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
Dina.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like it depends on the role. In general, I always say give me the essence of the character. And if it's something smaller, if you're not trying to be Dina, you know... give me the essence. Maybe your hair is a little 60s that day instead of full-on costume.
Shaved so, and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. So I always tell actors, bring the essence of this particular character into the room, even if it's not like exactly, you know, on point in terms of costumes and things like that.
All right. Now, what about actors who consistently, because I hear this a lot too, they want to be a featured character, but they audition for... background actors or background performers.
Mm-hmm.
Should you continue, or do you only do that for so many films and then actually come in for a speaking role?
So those actors,
extra is what I was thinking
yeah,
about.
Extras.
I couldn't think of it. Yeah.
So those actors that are extras wanting to do speaking roles, my feelings are at some point you have to, you don't want to be considered a career extra. So you don't want to be considered, you know what, this is the person who they do extra work. And I've gotten people's resumes where they've had 20 extra credits. And that makes me think as a casting director, well, being an extra is really what you want to do. I always say you should have no more than 3 credits for extra work. And then as you get more speaking credits, then you take those extra credits out. And then, you know, be aware that if you're an extra on a TV show, and especially if you're featured extra, then I can't cast you as a speaking role. Because if you've been designated as the speaking extra that's the security guard for the main guy, then it's going to be weird when we see you as another character. So extra work is great to get on set experience. But if you are really serious about being a principal actor, you're going to have to turn those down at some point.
So you got to give us a story. Is there one particular story that stands out from an audition or you
oh,
guys
gosh.
Are putting a project together and it was just like, you know, either this person or this guy or this girl is going to be a star?
Oh, goodness.
Got you on the spot. Huh?
I know. Because I had one story in mind. I'm like, oh, wait, I have to switch gears.
No, go with that story then.
Well, I will say one story that I love is that... this is when I first started. They had a big studio opening, and every single star that you can imagine was there. And I was, like, in charge of, like, welcoming people in. And the first person to show up was, like, Sidney Poitier. And he walks, like, directly to me. And I'm, like, low-key freaking out. I'm 21 years old, like... Sidney Poitier is walking up to me and he's like, how are you? I was like, how are you? And he was like, the better to have seen you or something like that.
Yeah.
And like life was completely made. So like, and that happened within my first couple of months of being there, but it was just an amazing experience for me.
Wow.
So yeah.
What advice would you give to anyone that wants to do what you're doing?
I would say you have to be, like every day, I feel like I'm a student of television and film. And it's weird for me to be in this mindset of like, I actually need to be up on shows and watch films, you know, to see, you know, who's out there, who's doing what. So I'd say for anyone who wants to be a casting director, you really have to be a student of actors. I got this from Ruben Cannon, and he said in an article that you need to watch, he watches 20 hours of television. And 2 movies and 2 plays every single week. I'm not there yet, but that's what he does. Like, that's his homework as a casting director. You want to know the market. You want to know what actors, you know, maybe barista number 3 who may be the next lead tomorrow. So having that kind of inner database is so, so, so important. Recognizing good performances is priceless. You really can't be a casting director unless you can really recognize good performances and good talent.
All right. Raven Drummer, thank you so much for stopping
thank
by
you.
The Upfront Studios. And you're more than welcome to come back. Let's
I would
talk
love
more
to.
About casting.
Yes, I would love to. Thank you.
Hey, Upfront listeners, you can now follow us on Instagram under Upfront the Show. We'll have exclusive photos, giveaways, and much more. That's Upfront the Show on Instagram.
This is Omar Dorsey, a.k.a. Hollywood of Queen Sugar, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
You just heard the voice of my next guest, multi-Grammy nominated singer Raheem Devon, performing his newest single, America. He, along with soul music vocalist and filmmaker Guapale, have been traveling across the country as part of the Rise Above campaign presented by the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, AHF, and World. The initiative promotes women's sexual health and responsibility and features an intimate evening of music and conversation. The campaign made stops in Oakland, Chicago, Cleveland, and closed out this weekend in Atlanta. I got a chance to chat with both of them about their involvement, their new music projects, and much more.
Well, good morning, Guapale and Raheem. How are you guys? Welcome to Upfront.
Thank you so much for having us.
This is really, really good.
Good to be back here.
Yeah. We were just talking about that.
Yeah. Little dungeon in the back.
Yeah. You guys have been on the road with the AIDS Healthcare Foundation and really, really good stuff. We're talking about women's health. We're talking about HIV. We're talking about being sexually responsible. What made you guys want to be a part of this? Because this is not just something that, you know, people really want to talk about. We're still a little, you know, it's still a taboo subject, you know, but people don't necessarily want to be open and honest about the bedroom. But let's talk about why you guys decided to get involved with this.
Well, I've always been interested in women's health and empowerment. So I feel like this is just one more piece of that. And I learned just a little bit before I got involved with the AHF, I started hearing about the statistics rising among young women of color at alarming rates. And I wasn't hearing about it anywhere. And, you know, if African Americans are 13%, but 50% of, you know, new HIV
cases,
that means people we know are being affected, you know. And so I just felt motivated to be involved. And this has been really neat because we've been going kind of, you know, city to city. And, you know, we were in Oakland, which is where I'm from. And, you know, if some teens can be open up the conversation to even prevent, you know, being affected by this, that's amazing. But also just for women to just open up the conversation and get rid of the stigma and realize, like, it's the battle's not over.
Right. And for you, Raheem?
You know, I think that part of being an influencer for the culture, public figure, is the responsibility of just being in tune with what's happening, like, with your people from a community standpoint. You know, I recently started a foundation 3 years ago, four years ago now. It's called the Love Life Foundation. You know, that's how my partnership with the AHF, who's an actual sponsor, you know, supporter of the Love Life Foundation, that's how we kind of created that synergy. You know, they have been keeping an eye on me for some time. I was unaware of that. You know what I mean? A lot of times we feel like doing the work out here that it goes unseen. But, you know, it's kind of just a testament to the fact that people are always watching what you're doing, not just nationally, but globally. You know, it's no secret, you know, what the statistics are, you know, what our concerns are. And while we're out here, especially, you know, in Atlanta and some of the other places that we've been, you know, as African Americans, we make up for 13% of the population, you know, but we're like 50% of the individuals that's affected in new cases. So, you know, with numbers like that, you know, with the lyrical consciousness that, you know, that I have, you know, in my music, Guapale has in her music, we feel like it's just like a perfect, you know, partnership, you know?
Yeah. Now, do you guys have any, I guess, any personal connections? Because just like you were saying, at this point, and as long as AIDS has been around and HIV, everyone sort of has a relative or a story or a friend or someone. So do you guys have like a personal connection maybe too?
Definitely friends and relatives. You know what I mean? Who've, you know, lost family members directly, you know, family members that I've lost, you know, friends. You know what I mean? So, co-workers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That type of thing. So
I think that have been lost, and some people I didn't hear that they had anything and it was not any kind of part of the conversation, and then they were just gone. And then there's been people that have lived with it for years, you know, and maybe kind of isolated or maybe talked about. So it's been a variety of different ways, I think.
But this is definitely a situation where we're not, it's, you know, it's again, you don't have to be affected to be care, you know, to care about people who are affected. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you know, this is our attempt to be, you know, counterproductive, you know what I mean? And just going out and getting the information out, the importance of it, you know, knowledge is power, you know what I mean? You know, a lot of times people ask questions at the events and, you know, they may think it's a stupid question. It's an old saying, there's no such thing as a stupid question.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's been great. You know, Atlanta went great. You know, we've hit Ohio.
I was going to say, what has been the response from, because you guys have this amazing show that that infuses, you know, this powerful message about empowerment and sexual responsibility, but then there's also music, there's poetry. So what has been the response from your audiences?
It's been great.
It's been really good. It hasn't been a heavy vibe. It's a heavy topic.
Yeah.
Right.
But then I feel like the events have been fun. It's been like a
community feeling. But I think we do a great job of narrating, you know what I mean, and kind of just like controlling the room. You know, there have been instances where women have came out and found out, you know, got tested and found out they're HIV positive and were able to get treatment right away.
Right.
You know what I mean? I've actually found that out today. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's taking place. So, I mean, that we're touching lives, we're changing lives. And that's the purpose of you know, our agenda going state to state.
That was Stay. That was your new single, Guapole, and that features BJ the Chicago Kid. What was the inspiration behind that song?
I had been working in the studio with Korn, who I did a couple other songs with and who works closely with BJ. And I wanted to do something that knocked, you know, that was the 808 heavy, but still felt like a classic kind of love song, kind of tribute to the 90s, and was coming from the perspective of how to stay in a relationship. So that's that vibey song from the new Dream Seeker project.
Okay. And Raheem, you've also got new music.
Yeah.
The Footprints on the Moon. It's the Crossroads, you as well as Wes Felton.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. You know, the album came out on January 22nd. I keep saying January. The album came out.
We're so close to it.
It came out September 22nd during CBC weekend, Congressional Black Caucus weekend. And it's been great, you know, just connecting the dots is a very powerful piece, you know. So I get one of three things when people listen to this album. They instantly become part of the movement and you know, help spread the word. You know, I get people that totally don't want to be associated. you know what I mean? Won't play the records, you know, won't pass the information along, you know, they scared to be the whistleblower. You know what I mean? Because this is that project is, you know, the Footprints of the Moon album is our attempt to be like whistleblowers. You know what I'm saying? And just like really talk it like it is. You know what I mean? Like we're really calling out what it is. You know, and then you have what a third person don't even the third scenario doesn't even really matter, right? You can get the album basically at all digital platforms right now.
Okay.
You know, we're in the age of where they're doing away with CDs.
Yeah.
You know, even the CD that I gave you, that's like a limited edition thing that we do just for the fans organically in person. And the feedback has been great. The new single, the first single is America, which is pretty self-explanatory. You know, living in the administration of the 45th, is no telling what can happen from day to day, right?
Right.
So, But myself and Wes, we look at ourselves as reporters in real time, you know, humanitarians, you know, vocal humanitarians, and you know, and somebody has to tell a story and speak about it, you know, reminiscent to like Willie Nelson and, you know, Marvin Gaye and, you know, myself and Wes, we kind of describe the album all the time. Imagine if Gil Scott-Heron and Marvin Gaye came together to do an album and it was produced by J Dilla, The Roots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something like that. That's pretty much what you're getting, you know, when you check out the project. So definitely from Prince on the Moon, that's it. The digital album. We in the digital age, man, by the crossroads.
Well, guys, thank you so much for stopping by the Upfront Studios. It's been such a pleasure having you both here. And much success on your musical endeavors. We're talking to Guapole as well as Raheem Devon about the Rise Above HIV event that is taking place here in Atlanta. And they've been all around the country promoting this health initiative by the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. We also want to share with you some more information about confidential STD testing, and that's located at freestdcheck.org. You can also get more information about this and more at wclk.com.
Spivey Hall, a proud supporter of WCLK programming, presents jazz pianist Kenny Barron and his trio in concert on Saturday, November 11th at 7:30 p.m. The trio will include Kiyoshi Kitagawa on bass and Jonathan Blake on drums. Spivey Hall is located on the campus of Clayton State University in Morrow, just 10 minutes south of the perimeter on I-75. The show will be hosted by yours truly, Mark Angel. Information is available at spiveyhall.org.
Hi, this is Iyanla Van Zandt, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Follow that star above you, should the world try to break you down.
There is one who waits for you, though you can't see him now. Thunder and rain surround you, but his love's just a breath away. If you follow that was the voice of the one and only Mariah Carey performing the title track to the upcoming animated movie, The Star. The film comes from my last guest, Hollywood producer, noted author, and inspirational speaker, Devon Franklin. He just released his newest book titled, The Hollywood Commandments, which offers readers spiritual principles with secular strategies. Franklin successfully identifies universal lessons that will help readers attain long-lasting, sustainable careers in Hollywood. He stopped by the Upfront Studios this week to chat about this and much more.
Well, good morning, Devon Franklin. And welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm good. Glad to be here. Good morning.
I can't believe you're actually here. I can't believe you're actually here in the WCLK studios. It is a pleasure to have you here, man.
Likewise. It's very cool. It's first time.
Yeah. Really?
First time.
You've never been to the AU Center, Atlanta University Center. Wow.
Never. First time, so I'm excited. This is cool. Reminds me, makes me feel like I'm, you know, back in a movie or something, you know, like school days or something like that.
Well, we're here to talk about your new book, The Hollywood Commandments. You have put together this amazing, what I call almost like this life instruction book. And we were talking, you know, offline that, you know, even if you're not a person of faith, this
Absolutely.
Is a book that just has some general life lessons, nuggets that will help you along your journey when you don't understand, why am I frustrated? Mm-hmm. Why is my career not moving the way that I want it to move? Really understanding patience.
Yes.
You know, because that's almost like a cuss word, you know. you gotta have patience. Like,
I know.
Did you just say the P word? You know, and then understanding talent, understanding if you're talent or if you are to serve talent. Yes. So I want to go into why this book now, because this is your third offering.
Third
correct?
Book.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So why this book now?
You know, I wanted to write this book now because I just felt like so many people want to talk about the what and the why of success, but very few people are teaching the how. And, you know, not that I am as successful as I ultimately believe I will be, but relative to the success that I've been able to achieve to date, I just wanted to teach. and I wanted to help others become successful. And I also wanted to kind of bridge the gap between the spiritual and the secular, because I do think that that's an area that we don't really talk too much about. And too often it's like, oh, you know, either be in the spiritual world and fear the secular, or be in the secular world and don't see any value of the spiritual. But I believe that real success comes from harnessing the power of both. Right. And so I really wanted to write this book now to instruct people to say, hey, here's how you can do it. Here's how you can, you know, hold on to your faith and be who you are. And at the same time, here's what you need to learn from a secular environment. And here's how you can become more successful in that environment.
Right.
And having been in Hollywood for 20 years, I wanted to write the Hollywood Commandments and put, you know, basically distill what I've learned in the 10 commandments, so to speak, for life changing success, because I really want people to become the success they've been ordained to be.
And it's amazing. I mean, the titles of the chapters, your prayers alone are not enough. Your gut is hiding God.
Yes.
Your difference is your destiny. Your prayers are not enough. I mean, when I was reading that, and as I said before, we were talking offline about having, it's great to have faith, but you got to put some work behind that faith. So, yes. So many actors and writers are like, yeah, I'm going to be an actor. Yeah, I'm going to be a writer.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to be a singer. But it's like, but are you singing?
Yes.
Are you acting?
Yes.
You know, and it takes more than just having that belief, but actually putting into practice what it is that you want to become. So let's talk
about
that.
I mean, you know, it's, yes, you have to put into practice what you want to become. And in addition to that, you know, you have to study to show yourself approved. Meaning, if you want to be a singer, if you want to be an actor, if you want to be a teacher, if you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a lawyer, it's like, okay, how do I begin to study the industry and what is required for success in that industry? You know, look at the other people that have excelled in that industry. What have they done? What's the process? What do I need to learn? Because too often, you know, we say, oh, I'm praying on it. That's cool. You should pray. Prayer works. Yet you also have to do. Faith with works is alive. And so one of the reasons why I wrote that particular commandment and why I wanted that commandment to start the book is because I just come across so many people, especially people of faith, when it's like, well, what are you doing for your career? Oh, I'm praying God's going to bless me with this. Well, I don't believe God gives us anything that we can get ourselves.
Yeah.
So we do have to combine works. We have to participate in the process. God is not a genie. He's, you know, it's not like, you know, he's a spiritual vending machine. It doesn't work that way. We're participants in our own purpose. And when we begin to participate, we begin to actually see, oh, wow, the process is there to prepare me. Because even though we may want certain things, we may not be ready for them. So when we commit to the process, when we begin to prepare, it helps us receive what is ultimately on the way. And I have, you know, like I said, I've been in Hollywood for 20 years. It's been a lot of preparation for me to ultimately do what I'm doing now. And so I wanted to impart that to the reader so that they can see the value in where they are and realize that there's always something we can do in the present moment that will help prepare us for the future that's on the way.
And even you brought up something that I had heard before, but it really resonates about the elevator to success is broken. You got to take the stairs, and understanding that it really is about that journey.
Yes.
That the lessons come, the value, because what happens at the end, you know, when we finally reach that goal, it's great.
Yeah.
But the real richness of that entire process is truly the journey. So let's talk about that idea of, you know, you've got to put in that work and when you do that work, that's creating the foundation for you to receive that whatever, you know, if it's becoming the producer or becoming the Oscar winning actress.
Yeah. You know, it's so much about the process. And when I talk about success as a staircase, not an elevator, what I mean by that is that, you know, when you're waiting for the elevator to come, right? So you're, you know, you keep pushing the button. Let's just say you all of a sudden get lucky and the elevator comes and you're like, oh, great. I get to the floor that I want to get on.
Yeah.
When you're there, you have no idea what to do because you have robbed the process of its nourishment of your success, which is, even though it may be difficult, every step you take prepares your ability. It prepares your character, prepares your integrity. It prepares your mindset. It prepares your ability to deal with people. So when you get to that floor, you actually have the fitness to be successful on that floor, right? Because the process has nourished now your success that is healthy and alive. Yeah. But if you try to shortcut the process, you may succeed in the moment, but over time you will fail because you really aren't prepared to maximize the moment. So many times people are talking about getting success, but very few people talk about the maintenance of success. To me, it's not about just getting it. It's about sustaining it, maintaining it. So when you take the stairs, when you commit to the process, no matter how long the process takes you, you then are prepared to operate on whatever floor you have been destined to thrive on.
Right.
So that's why I talk about the value of taking the staircase. And that requires getting up every day, believing in your dream, and going to work. Working towards it. Everything I'm doing now, you know, producing film, producing television, speaking, being an author, being a television personality, all of those things have come because I put in the work. So every single day, showing up, having, yeah. I mean, there were days I had no idea that anything I believed was ever going to happen. And just trusting and believing, okay, you know what, I'm having faith, I'm putting work behind my faith, I'm trying to be excellent in my service, I'm trying to be excellent in the work, and trusting that one day, that this is all gonna pay off, and it's paying off, right? I start to see now the benefit of so many days when I wanted to give up, I wanted to quit, I was tired, I was frustrated, I was at, you know, my wit's end many days, but God just kept saying, stay, commit, yeah. Stay to the process. And every time when I would push through that frustration, I would see, oh, there's actually some more work I need to do. You know, there's actually another lesson I need to achieve. So it has not been easy, and it's not easy for anyone listening, yet the process is worthwhile.
Let's talk about, before we get to the frustration part, let's talk about what were some of the lessons that you learned when putting this book together that you maybe did not know before? Because I know a lot of times when you're working on a project, you learn things even then about yourself that you may not have known before. So were there any lessons that you learned?
Yeah, I mean, as I wrote the Hollywood Commandments, you know, I just realize I have a lot more knowledge than I thought. I mean, as I started putting, you know, really trying to distill what I've learned in 20 years of a career and trying to distill that into 10 life-changing lessons for anyone's success, I began to realize, like, oh, wow, I've learned a lot. And I felt good. I said, I have a lot to share. I mean, and even as I was writing the book, and then, you know, going through and writing and reading, you know, I just said, listen, even if I didn't write this book, I said, this book is incredible.
Yeah.
not even because of the style of writing, but just the content. It just fills a void. I have never, as a person of faith, I have never read a book that validates being secular, that validates secular aspiration and ambition, yet gives you a strategy on how to achieve it without it consuming your faith. I've never read it. So it bridged the gap for me, even writing it. I said, wow, this is powerful. Because when I really began to search the scripture, I began to say, oh, wow, so many of these people that we talk about as the Bible greats were people who had secular success. They weren't prominent in the synagogue.
Right.
You know, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not prominent in the synagogue.
Or even Joseph.
Yeah. He was second in command in Egypt, and that was a part of his destiny. He saw that dream. So when I thought about that and I thought about the lessons I've had in Hollywood, I just said, wow, I actually have a lot to share. So I felt really good about that. Yeah.
Let's talk about another nugget that I think is so important in here is you really break down service.
Yes.
And that we're all called to serve. Even, you know, Beyonce is a servant to her fans. I mean,
absolutely.
She's serving them with amazing music and imagery and that sort of thing. So let's talk about understanding that no matter what, we're all called to serve. And that's all really a part of the bigger picture.
Yes.
Whether you're acting or whether you're creating a business or you're a baker, whatever your profession.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Commandment number 3, you have to carry a crown before you wear one. Everyone wants the crown and the throne, which is the authority, the position of power and control, whatever they're striving for. But very few people want to serve to get there. And I believe that service never goes out of style. We live in a generation that's a selfie generation.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to, you know, say me, 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 me. But I do believe that if you turn the camera around and you start to ask people, how can I meet your need? How can I help you today? You then commit yourself to a life of service. And whenever you get to the place you're striving for, so whenever you're wearing that crown you've been praying for and working for, whenever you're on that throne that you've been wanting to sit on, you realize that then your whole service has prepared you. Because when you're in a position of power, you have a higher requirement for service. So service is, you never get to a place where you don't serve. And the moment you get to a position and you stop serving, I guarantee you can count the days by which you will no longer be in that position. Because service is our currency here on the earth. Muhammad Ali had a famous quote that said something very similar. And I believe that. Mm-hmm. I believe it. And what I love about service is that in my happiest moments are not when I am selfishly focused. My happiest moments are when I'm helping somebody else. That's one of the reasons why I do this. It's why I wrote the book. It's why I preach and speak and do so many things because I want to help people. because I find my truest gratitude and peace when I'm helping others live out their best calling. So I really wanted to talk about the value of service because, you know, again, it goes to this idea of like, well, don't want it quick. Don't want it fast. Fast does not mean good. And sometimes we're impatient, and that impatience works against us. You know, we have to be patient. We have to be persistent. And the process, if we commit to the process takes us where we're supposed to be. And as we serve, it's like serving people plant seeds. You would be shocked at how many blessings later on in my career came because in a moment I selflessly served someone else. You know, just said, okay, what do you need? Let me help you without asking for something in return, without looking for anything in return. And then years later, you know, getting recommended for jobs. Oh, well, you know, this person told us about you. I'm like, that person? And I was like, oh, I was serving that person as an intern and I didn't know they were even paying attention.
Yeah.
But it matters. Anyone that is trying to turn the lights on in their career right now to start figure out how I can serve. How do I go into the office tomorrow and serve? How do I go onto campus and serve? Even when I was in college, you know, I was majored in business, minored in film. I went to USC, University of Southern California. I was interning for the company that managed Will Smith. And there I was chair of the Black Business Student Association. I ultimately become vice chair of the Black Student Assembly. I was involved as an orientation advisor. I was involved in servicing my community on campus because it was so important. Because as you serve, you become more well-rounded too. Mm-hmm. And the more well-rounded you are, the more adept you will become to really sustain the success that you're going for.
Thank you, Devon, for that exclusive interview. Make sure you tune in next week for the conclusion to our conversation where he discusses how to deal with frustration and his new film, The Star. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, Raven Drummer, Raheem Devon, Guapale, and Devon Franklin. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, November 11th at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.